stop it! I mean it!
Okay, okay, whatever you say.
George, please!
Look, we've had a nice evening. Let's not spoil it, huh?
I'm trying to talk to you.
Now, we always talk.
Yes, and I love to talk.
I know it. And I don't mind it sometimes. Look, I want you to cut it out, see? The moody stuff. I don't like it. You're a nice-looking girl, all over. That's all you need, honey. Forget the atmosphere. Look, guys aren't going to go for the atmosphere. They're going to go for what they see. Be glad for that. Benita, please, drop the Garbo routine. It doesn't go with you. Now, as for myself, come here, baby. I want a nice, simple, sophisticated girl. Not a poet, okay?
Stop it! George, why are you angry?
Because this is stupid. I don't go out with you to discuss the nature of quiet desperation or to hear your thoughts. Because the world will go on thinking what it thinks regardless.
Then why read books? Why go to school?
It's simple. You read books to learn facts, to get grades, to pass the course, to get a degree. That's all. It has nothing to do with thoughts.
I see. Good night, George.
Hello, George. How are you feeling?
Fine. Fine. How are you?
Oh, a little tired. You know, them steps can get you after a day's work. Y'all have a nice time at the party?
Yes. A fine time. A fine time.
Well, good night, George. Hello, honey. What you sitting there like that for?
I'm just sitting.
Well, now that your company is gone, why don't you make up Travis's bed? Didn't you have a nice time?
No.
No? What's the matter?
Mama, George is a fool. Honest.
Is he, baby?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Well, I guess you better not waste your time with no fools.
Mama?
Yes, baby.
Thank you.
For what?
For understanding me this time.
Now, don't you fool with any of this packing, Lena. Hello? Just a minute. Walter, it's Mrs. Arnold. Hello? Yes, this is his wife speaking. He's lying down now. Yes, well, he'll be in tomorrow. He's been very sick. Yes, I know we should have called, but we were so sure he'd be able to come in today. Yes. I'm very sorry. Yes, thank you very much. That was Mrs. Arnold.
Was it?
She said if you don't come in tomorrow, they're getting a new man.
Ain't that sad? Ain't that crying sad?
She said Mr. Arnold has had to take a cab for 3 days. Walter, you ain't been to work for 3 days? Where you been, Walter Lee Younger? You're going to lose your job.
That's right.
Oh, Walter... And with your mother working like a dog every day.
And that's sad, too. Everything is sad.
What you been doing these 3 days, son?
Mama, you don't know all the things a man what got leisure can find to do in this city. What's this, Friday night? Well... Wednesday, I borrowed Willie Harris' car and I went for a drive. Just me and myself. And I drove and drove way, way past South Chicago. And I parked the car and sat and looked at the steel mills all day long. I just sat and looked at them big black chimneys for hours. And then I drove back and I went... to the Green Hat. And Thursday, I borrowed the car again. And I pointed it the other way, and I drove the other way for hours. Way, way up to Wisconsin, and I looked at the farms. I just drove and looked at the farms. Then I drove back and I went to the Green Hat. And today I just walked all over the South Side and I looked at the Negroes and they looked at me. And finally I sat down on the curb at 39th and South Park where I just sat there and watched the Negroes go by. And then I went to the Green Hat. Y'all sad? Y'all depressed? And you know where I'm going right now.
Big Walter, is this the harvest of our days?
You know what I like about the Green Hat? I like this little cat they got there who blows a sax. He blows. He talks to me. He ain't about 5 feet tall and he's got a conked head and his eyes is always closed and it's all music.
Whoa.
And there's another fella who plays the piano and they got a sound. I mean, they can work on some music in the Green Hat. They got the best little combo in the world in the Green Hat. You can just sit there and drink and listen to them three men play and you realize that don't nothing count worth a damn but just being there.
I've helped do it to you, haven't I, son? Walter, I've been wrong.
No, you ain't never been wrong about nothing, Mama.
Listen to me now. I say I've been wrong, son, that I've been doing to you what the rest of the world been doing to you. Walter, what you ain't never understood is that I ain't got nothing, don't own nothing. Ain't never really wanted nothing that wasn't for you. There ain't nothing as precious to me. There ain't nothing worth holding on to. Money, dreams, nothing else. If it means it's going to destroy my boy. I paid the man $3,500 down on the house. That leaves $6,500. Monday morning, I want you to take this money and put $3,000 in a savings account for Benita's medical school.
Oh.
The rest, you put in a checking account with your name on it. And from now on, any penny that comes out of it or goes in it is for you to look after, for you to decide. It ain't much, but it's all I got in the world. And I'm putting it in your hands. I'm telling you to be the head of this family like you're supposed to be.
Mama, you trust me like that, Mama?
I ain't never stopped trusting you like I ain't never stopped loving you.
What's the matter, Daddy? You drunk?
No. Daddy ain't drunk. Daddy ain't never gonna be drunk again.
Well, good night, Daddy.
Son, I feel like talking to you tonight.
About what?
Oh, about a lot of things. About you and what kind of man you gonna be when you grow up. Son, what do you want to be when you grow up?
A bus driver.
A what? Man, that ain't nothing to want to be.
Why not?
Because, man, it ain't big enough. You know what I mean?
I don't know then. I mean, sometimes Mama asks me that too. When I tell her I just want to be like you, she says she don't want me to be like that. And sometimes she says she does.
You know what, Travis? In a few years, you are gonna be 17 years old. And things is gonna be very different with us. And one day, when you are 17, I come home from my office.
You don't work in no office, Daddy.
But no, but after tonight, after what your daddy is gonna do tonight, there's gonna be offices, a whole lot of offices.
What are you gonna do tonight, Daddy?
You wouldn't understand yet, son. But your daddy is gonna make a transaction. A business transaction that's gonna change our lives. That's how come one day when you about 17, I come home and I'll be, pretty tired. You know what I mean? After a day of conferences and secretaries getting things wrong the way they do because an executive's life is hell, man. And I pull the car up the driveway. Just a plain black Chrysler, I think, with white walls. No, black ties. It's more elegant. Rich people don't have to be flashy. Though I have to get something a little sportier for Ruth. Maybe a Cadillac convertible to do her shopping in. And I come up the steps to the house, and the gardener would be clipping away at the hedges, and he'll say, "Good evening, Mr. Younger." And I'll say, "Hello, Jefferson. How are you this evening?" And I'll go inside, and Ruth will meet me at the door, and we'll kiss. And she'll take my arm, and we'll go upstairs to your room to see you sitting on the floor with the catalogs of all the great schools in America around you, all the great schools in the world. And I'll say, "All right, son, it's your 17th birthday. What is it that you've decided? Just tell me where you want to go to school, and you'll go. Just tell me what it is you want to be, and you'll be it. Whatever you want to be. Yes, son. You just name it, son. And I'll hand you the world."